Speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. So, today, we mark the Feast of the Confession of St. Peter, our patron saint. Now, he's actually listed as a patron saint of quite a lot of things. I don't know if you're aware of this. Of course, our Roman brothers and sisters claim him quite a bit. He's also said to be the patron saint of builders, of fishermen, obviously, of net makers, of bakers, of shipbuilders, of locksmiths, and the list goes on. About half of those probably make a lot of sense to our junior warden right now, specifically locksmiths, brick makers, builders. And of course, as I listed all of these things, I actually continued to think about all the people here at St. Peter's. We have bakers in our midst. We have a lot of people who work well with their hands. I don't know if we have any fishermen or not, or maybe they're all out fishing on Sundays instead of being here. I don't know. But there's a lot of coverage that St. Peter's has as a patron saint. And I think that's quite fitting for our community as we think about who we are, as we think about the gifts that God has given us. But also, as we consider not just St. Peter, but particularly today, this is not just about St. Peter, it's about the confession of St. Peter, as we just heard from our gospel. So as we look at this confession, I want to offer what I think are three different movements that I want to draw our attention to, directions, as we look into this next year as a people, who make our confession alongside our patron saint, St. Peter. I want us to be asking the question, what does it mean for us as a diverse group of people with different abilities, with different gifts, but called together, what does it mean for us, the people at St. Peter's, to confess that Jesus is the Messiah, to confess that Jesus is the Son of the living God? And I think we can find these movements in this account, this incredible confession from St. Peter. The first movement is one that roots us onto this rock, this Petra that Jesus calls it. Surely you are Peter, Petros, and on this Petra I will build my church. Now there's been a lot of spilled ink as to the meaning and the significance of Jesus essentially giving Simon a nickname, not dissimilar from Rocky in our own language today. This rock, who is this rock? What is this rock? Is this rock Peter himself? Is it Peter's confession? Is this rock Jesus? Of course, different denominations give different accounts for it, offer different points of emphasis. Our Roman Catholic siblings place emphasis more on Peter as the person and as the office, establishing their understanding of what they call the primacy of Peter, the papacy, even the infallibility of the Pope later on. Our Protestant siblings of many stripes say that this rock is the confession of Peter itself. This confession, Jesus is the Messiah, Son of the living God. That's the rock. Or they may even say that Jesus was maybe being a little bit coy, pointing to Peter and then to himself. You're rocky, but on this rock, pointing back to himself, I will build my church. Our Orthodox siblings say that Peter was even a sort of representative rock, standing as the original bishop, upon which other bishops derive their authority in unbroken succession all the way up until today. So, what do we think? What or who is the rock? Like good Anglicans, our answer to this sort of question is a comprehensive, if not little bit squishy, yeah. Yes. Peter is, in a uniquely historic way, foundational for the establishment and foundation of the church. He was often looked to as a leader amongst the original apostles, and of course, as we see in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter is figured prominently. But as Episcopalians, we don't go quite as far to grant the sort of authority that the Bishop of Rome claims for himself. But we do recognize that we are a part of this same historic and apostolic succession going back to this Peter and back to his confession, much like our Orthodox friends as well. We also believe that this confession, that Jesus is the Messiah and the Lord, is absolutely foundational for us as Christians. That's why today we mark it not just as the feast of St. Peter, but of his confession, that he is Lord and Messiah. And we confess this together whenever we gather for worship. So I mentioned three movements. So if we were to call this one movement something, I think we would call it a movement backward. When we confess Jesus as Lord, along with St. Peter, we're looking back on this great tradition upon which we owe our existence. Jesus has built his church upon the rock of Peter, upon the rock of his confession, upon his very self, and this church has persisted, imperfect and beautiful as she is, up until this point. As St. Peter's, we deeply value that rich tradition in our worship. We recite ancient creeds, we engage in the deep liturgical traditions of our forebears, we pray the historic prayers of saints who've come before us, and we cling to this ancient and foundational confession. Jesus is Messiah, Son of the living God. So as a people, we move backwards to tradition as a part of us clinging to this confession. But Jesus goes on to talk about this amazing truth of the church. He says that the gates of Hades, or death, will not prevail against it. Now, one thing I've always loved about this image is that it presumes something about the church, that she is on the move, that she is moving forward, she is moving against the powers of death and darkness in the world, that it's the gates that won't prevail against that movement. The church is not standing still, as it were, enduring what comes, but is instead actively moving forward, engaging in the powers of death and evil in the world. So if the first direction is a move backward, the second is where we move onward. Isn't it a sort of saying, a rolling stone gathers no moss? We are a rock, and we are on the move. Yes, I'm deeply resisting the urge to make a rock and roll joke right now. There can be a temptation when we focus on our rootedness in tradition that we neglect the move forward for the sake of maybe even standing still, wanting to root ourselves deeply in the things that have come before us. And that's very good. We want to do that. But we also want to be a church that is on the move, that we are moving forward specifically with God in the world, moving against the powers of darkness and evil. And I'm so grateful to see how St. Peter's has done that. Moved forward, moved onward, literally in the face of death and in the face of evil. That is a part of your story. I'm grateful that even in this time where death seems to be all too prominent around us, in this ongoing time of a pandemic, that St. Peter's has not been content to sit still, but continues to move onward. Onward as resurrection people, because we believe that death and evil do not have power that can stand up against Christ's church. So when we confess Jesus along with St. Peter, we're rooting ourselves in the tradition of our forebears, we're moving backward, but we're also moving onward as people who believe in the resurrection. We look at the gates of death and we choose to celebrate life because of Jesus. Finally, Jesus gives Peter the keys to the kingdom. Whatever he binds will be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. This, again, can have a lot of interpretations. It has been a challenge for many interpreters over the years. But there is a strong emphasis in the history of interpretation on this being an example of the proclamation and reception of the gospel. We see this play out in the Acts of the Apostles. As the gospel is spread by Peter in his first sermon, people are added to the church that day. bound in heaven. The keys that Peter held are by extension given to us in a sense, though through our confession of Jesus as Messiah and our proclamation of Jesus as Son of the living God, we too are opening the way of heaven. We are opening the way of kingdom to the world. There can be such an emphasis on keys being used to lock things up. But I think what is often in mind, and what we ought to keep in mind, particularly in this passage, is that they are keys that open up, that welcome, that include, by proclaiming the good news that Jesus is for all of us. So we move out into the world in the power of the Spirit, proclaiming and embodying the good news of Jesus. So can you guess what that third direction is? Backward. Onward, outward, outward. We move backward to our roots. We move onward in resilience and hope, but we move outward as we participate in God's mission in the world. We see these movements at work in our own mission statement, which of course we all have memorized, right? But I'll just remind you. St. Peter's is an intimate and inclusive and mission-centered church, committed to involvement in the life of our neighbors in Old Ellicott City and beyond. That sounds like outward to me. We support all persons in their spiritual journey and celebration of life through worship of God in Christ. That's onward, as well as some upward, I'll say, in worship, in the rich Anglican tradition. Backward. So my prayer for us, as we remember the confession of St. Peter, as we seek to embody that same movement that's at work, these directions of backward, of onward, of outward, as this truth about who God is in Christ was revealed to Peter, this depth and significance of this reality of Jesus Christ, my prayer is that God would continue to show us how we might most faithfully live into this rock of our confession, into this rock of our faith, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ, who calls us back into the tradition of our faith, who calls us onward to go with God into the world and outward to serve in mission. May we also keep in mind, as we continue in our time of worship this evening, an upward orientation. Because it was not flesh and blood that revealed this to Peter, but it was God who revealed this truth of who Jesus is. That we would maintain this upward orientation, seeking to glorify God in all the ways, in all the directions which we live and move and have our being. Amen.
Amen.